Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Very cold outside, but it is warm in our hearts because we've got a new president. Is that too much? I don't think it's enough, honestly. We're watching the day after the full first day of the Trump administration. Business continues to take place at a rapid pace. And we're watching with great interest the different things that are going to come of this new administration. He got right down to business yesterday. Among other things, we just discussed this a little bit with our guest at 1225. Congressman Mike Boss was talking about the birthright citizenship executive order.
This next order relates to the definition of birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment of the United States.
Yeah, that's a good one. Birthright. That's a big one.
What about that one in the course? That one is likely to be passed.
Could be. We think we have good ground, but you could be right. I mean, you'll find out. It's ridiculous. We're the only country in the world that does this with birthright, as you know. And it's just absolutely ridiculous, but... you know, we'll see. We have very good grounds.
So he's saying birthright citizenship, they're going to end that anchor baby situation that people have been taking advantage of quite a bit. In addition to that, he reacted directly to the southern border with this executive action.
So this is a proclamation declaring a national emergency at the southern border of the United States?
That's a big one. A lot of big ones, huh? You know what that means, right?
So there he is. He's talking about a national emergency at the southern border. And 4 years later, Jim Carafano back on the Annie Fry Show to talk to us about the stark change in policy and in action. Jim Carafano, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. I'm looking forward to our conversations looking a little bit differently than they have for the last 4 years.
Yeah, I'm done here. Trump's got it from here. I'm just doing a handoff.
What did you think about all of the action that he took yesterday? I mean, he got straight to it.
You know, it's just like one giant I told you so. I mean, it was so predictable. One huge mistake that people make is they keep thinking that it's the Donald Trump of 2016. This is a leader who was not only president for 4 years, but has been watching him from the sidelines, he is probably today the most experienced global leader on the planet, with more knowledge, connectivity, expertise, with a deeper bench of qualified people than maybe any other global leader. So this is a guy who walks in the door that's ready to govern. And we saw that literally the tsunami of just, you know, the skaters at the Olympics, and they're like going, you know, the ice skaters, and then they just turn 180 degrees and completely change their momentum and do like a triple axel. Mm-hmm. That's Donald Trump and the U.S. government.
Yeah.
We're just headed in the completely opposite direction. And and it's not just the momentum is unbelievable. Business community, global leaders, people are being very pragmatic about, look, maybe I don't like the orange hair or whatever, but they recognize not only is this guy's in charge, and this guy's knowing what he's doing, and he's forceful in doing it, but if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of the things Donald Trump wants to do are in the best interest of all of us. So I think the world's going to get out of the way and let Trump drive on.
It's exciting to think about. We're speaking with Jim Carafano. You, of course, do policy, not politics, but that's what this is all about. The policy changes that are in place right now, just a day after he's sworn in the oath of office, are dramatic changes from what they used to be under the Biden administration. I'm wondering how you feel. Like, the politics is how you persuade people to feel about things. I'm wondering how much of this policy change is going to be felt by Americans, not Democrats or Republicans, Americans, without them even realizing that it's something that Donald Trump showed up on day one and made a change.
Well, I think this is kind of the dirty little secret. This is not about Donald Trump being this unbelievably magnetic populist leader that people are just hypnotized by. This is what Americans want. I mean, Trump is his political revival and his massive momentum. This is because he is delivering on exactly what people want. This is why Milei was successful in Argentina, why Meloni was successful in Italy, and I just think this is unstoppable. And the irony here, of course, is what we see from kind of the opposition, kind of doubling down on, oh, Trump is evil. We're going to stop this. We're going to sue these guys. We're going to Trump with America. We're going to fight his nominees for his cabinet. They are essentially, I think, accelerating their own suicide because they're not offering a resistance or opposition to Donald Trump or protecting the American people. They're demonstrating, I think, to American voters how completely out of touch and irrelevant they really are. And I think they're just accelerating their own demise. You know, it's like that scene in Ghostbusters when Gozer says, choose a form of your own destruction. It's like the left has decided that they're just going to keep doing what they're doing and ensure their own destruction.
Yeah, there's some obvious lessons to be learned, but it doesn't seem like it's as obvious to other people as it is to us. Jim Carafano on the show with us right now, a foreign policy expert that we always lean on at times like this. I've seen video. I think it's real. I'm skeptical of everything right now. But Vladimir Putin with an interpreter talking over the top of it, talking about wanting to have a discussion about potential peace. We know that Donald Trump has spoken about that conflict and talked about the horrors of the war and the death on both sides. Do you see any dramatic change in that conflict?
I think Putin has already hung himself. His going in response to Trump out of the box was to diss the peace thing and essentially pump himself up. They've been doing a lot of military operations. So he has an incredibly weak position, and literally he spit at the President of the United States and his offer to end this thing. And Putin is now playing this thing about, oh, I'm congratulating Trump on his election, and oh, yeah, we'll talk. He is in an incredibly weak position. And so I don't know what he's going to do, because obviously Putin's going to make his own decisions. But this is a guy that does not have a winning hand, and he knows it. And what Putin always does is he tries to bluff his way out of it. You know, it's, you know, he'll make outrageous demands, and the more outrageous his demands, the less the U.S. should give him.
Jim Carafano on the Andy Frye Show right now. Trump seems very comfortable in his relationship with Putin. You're saying Putin likes to bluff his way out of things. We continue to hear Donald Trump refer to his relationship with Kim Jong-un like, I had a relationship with him. He talks about these world leaders that are supposed to be made pariahs by the left, but in talking points, but then in real life action, they don't really do anything to lower their standing in the world. They just do a lot of talking at home. What is the world reacting to right now that Donald Trump is the president once again?
Well, I can say what Trump is going to react to. These, first of all, people forget Trump tried to cut a deal with Putin and Putin spit in his eye. He offered Kim a get out of jail free card, and Kim not only spit in his eye, he's been helping the Russians in this. Trump's not going to forget these things. It's like Vito Corleone, right? You know, what is Vito Corleone comes to you and gives you a big bear hug before he basically has you assassinated. I mean, I think Trump has a long memory, and he knows that these guys are feckless, useless losers. And in the end, that's the way he's going to treat him, even as he gives him bear hugs and says, oh, yeah, I can talk to this guy. Because they don't have any cards to play. The Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, North Korea, what do they all have in common? I mean, they're playing a game of poker with an ace poker player, and they don't get five cards. They get like two cards, and they don't match, and they're all like face cards.
That's a funny way to put it. Jim, when we have the hostage situation come to, or at least move towards a conclusion, and everything hasn't unfolded quite yet, we get one final Oval Office message from Joe Biden before he says anything like, thanks, America, for letting me be your president. He's like, I did this. The Trump administration seems to not feel like they need to fight them too much for the credit. Where do you put the credit and the blame?
The Biden administration will go down as one of the worst administrations in modern history. He will eclipse Jimmy Carter as being seen as both incompetent and destructive. There wouldn't be an October 7th. There would not have been an invasion of Ukraine if Biden had not shown tremendous weakness on the international stage. And rather than claiming credit for anything, he should spend the rest of his life apologizing to the American people and giving classes on how to lead by not doing what he did.
Does the Trump pressure the negotiations that were taking place in? Did they get the hostages released?
I definitely think it played a role. You know, and long term, what's really important strategically is that if you're in Hamas or Hezbollah or the Houthis in Yemen or in Iran, you know the game is over. That Trump, the United States of America, has Israel's back. And Israel was pummeling these guys before. Now they're facing Israel and essentially a blank check from the United States to go after these guys. So, again, America's enemies around the world are suddenly in a very, very, very weakened position, and they are all dealing with this from a position of weakness. And so we'll see all of this. We'll see some accommodation, like on the part of Hezbollah, give them the hostages back. We'll see bluffing like we've seen from Putin. We'll even see some puffing up, like, you know, from the Chinese and other things. But the reality is they're all sitting in their little conference rooms saying, how can we deal with an American juggernaut that realizes the power they have and they have all the cards? And we're facing a president that knows how to play them.
Mm. Oh, it's just different. It's different today, Jim Carafano. Were you able to take place in any of the festivities? Are you, you're like Carmen Sandiego. Where are you?
Well, I'm in Macedonia. Actually, last night I watched the inauguration with some friends in Macedonia, and they're all wearing MAGA hats. It was really quite.
That's wonderful.
Quite surreal. So they just weren't celebrating in America. I got to tell you, but I got to say this, Annie. Can you go back and play the show from 4 years ago, the day after the Biden inauguration?
Yes.
And the difference in the conversation that we're having. It's, you know, God bless the American voter. That's all I can say.
God bless him. You're absolutely right. God bless you as well, Jim Carafano, in your travels and in your work. We appreciate you and your time here. Thanks for coming with us today.
All right. You bet.
Take care.
Have a great week.
You
bye-bye.
As well. Bye-bye. Jim Carafano there on the Annie Fry Show, and he's absolutely right, and I'm going to make a note of that right now. We've got to get that interview. I think I said that last week with him, and the way he was talking about what was upon us and how we were going to see this southern border situation deteriorate at such a great pace. He was so right, and he's been right about this all along, and we're grateful to have him on the show. When we come back, let's talk to Joe Concha, our friend, Fox News contributor. His book is coming out in April, and it's The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. And watching yesterday, I couldn't get enough of it. I'm on X. I couldn't get enough. Every next post on X made me as happy or happier than the one before. And I just wonder, how long can this really last? How long can we enjoy the winning? I saw Ben Shapiro tweeted and said something to the effect of, Donald Trump lied to me. He said I would get sick of the winning. I am not sick of the winning. I demand more winning. Me too, Ben Shapiro. Me too. Joe Concha on the...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Annie Fry Show next.
Our sovereignty will be reclaimed. Our safety will be restored. The scales of justice will be rebalanced. The vicious, violent, and unfair weaponization of the Justice Department and our government will end. And our top priority will be to create a nation that is proud, prosperous, and free.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
Well, we got to watch the culmination of the greatest comeback ever, which is also the title of Joe Concha's book, which is coming out in April. Joe, it feels freer and sunnier and happier in America today. Can you tell where you are? Same thing?
Despite the fact that it's 4 degrees here in New Jersey right now.
It's super cold here in St. Louis as well.
Everywhere, right?
Just give me your thoughts. I don't want to box you in here. Yesterday's events, what'd you think?
I think that if you told me on January 7th, 2021, that would be happening, that Donald Trump not only would get the nomination, but actually win the presidency, win the popular vote, win every swing state, that would have been a hard sell. I got to be honest with you, which is why I wrote the book, because when you look at all the things this man has overcome, right, 2 impeachments, 2 assassination attempts, the Mueller report and the exoneration that went along with it, but that came 3 years into his first presidency, 4 cases against him on the lawfare front, all 4 of which have now failed. Obviously, a hostile media taking the side of the Democratic Party, first Joe Biden covering up for him, and then the Summer of Joy, Brat Summer, Kamala Harris etch-a-sketching her entire record and making her to a candidate that she was not. I mean, just all the things that this man has overcome, and to be where he is now, more popular than ever. You know, we're seeing like 57% approval, 56% approval. He was never in the 50s ever. So I think that sky's the limit here at this point, and we're already seeing the ridiculous reactions from the media who think that this is 2017 and think they have the influence they once did even 8 years ago. They don't, and they're just kind of being laughed out of the room, I feel like, at this point.
Yeah, it is really something. I'm going to be honest, Joe, yesterday I just basked in the wonderfulness of the day. Like, I just soaked it all in, and I didn't save one time during Joe Biden, when he was getting ready to depart Joint Base Andrews, President Trump was speaking in Emancipation Hall. He was kind of going on, and Joe Biden was going to speak, and we dipped. I was like, we got to see what MSNBC is doing. I got to see. And Rachel Maddow just sounded so sad. And they left the Trump speech. They went into the Joe Biden speech. He didn't even complete a sentence without slurring something that was you could not possibly understand what he was saying. Are you peeking over on the other side of the media aisle these days and looking at how they're handling this?
Oh, yeah, I kind of have to, right? Just, I want to be fully educated on what I'm talking about. And with regards to Rachel Maddow, I mean, we can't underscore this enough. During the Biden presidency in 2022, she told her bosses, I'm only going to work one day a week now.
Right.
I'm going to come in on Mondays, or reserve a seat for me, and I'm off for the other 6. And you're like, who does this? And then MSNBC, stupidly enough, still pays her the $30 million a year she makes, despite working 1/5 of the time. And now that Trump's coming back, I mean, how would you like to be Alex Wagner, who took over those other 4 nights for her? Then Rachel says, now that Trump's coming back in, I think I want to work 5 days a week again. So, Alex, be on your way. All right. That's my seat again. And for her just to go off the way she did, it's all cheesy Skinamax at 3 a.m. performance art. I don't actually believe she believes what she's, I mean, she probably does, but it's so over the top that after a while, it's just, I don't know.
But who, I think about the, I mean, we know that the audiences that are out there for what they're serving up are not that big. But at this point in time, if Donald Trump starts to get these policies and they get out there and they get moving and we start seeing results from this, and you hope the prices come down. You hope he makes the tax cuts permanent. You hope he secures the border. You hope that he tampers down some of the conflicts that are taking place around. We've got hostages coming home. When people start seeing this, who wants to tune into these channels and watch them melt down because they are in the misery loves company category? Like, who wants to be in that anymore?
I'll share some numbers with you. All right. So CNN, for example, in prime time, last week. Okay, we're a week away from an inauguration. There's a lot going on in terms of the cabinet and the confirmation hearing. So busy, busy news time. Plus, it's cold out and no one's outside. So, yeah, you would hope that ratings would go up. So CNN averages 300,000 viewers from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Okay, now 300,000 viewers is about 100,000 people fewer than the total population of Wichita, Kansas. Okay, and they're in 90 million homes. Like 300,000 is an almost impossible number to get to. They're going to be by reruns of Seinfeld, SpongeBob, and South Park. I mean, it's they're paying at last check, people a lot more than Cartman's getting paid, for example, right? So. That's the answer is already that people are already not tuning in. Mm-hmm. That legacy media is basically dead. MSNBC is no better. 650,000 people watch them on average, and that is smaller than the population of El Paso, Texas. So I could go on with all these nice little city versus viewer analogies, but yeah, I think it's already happening in a big way. And their whole problem is they become completely predictable, Annie.
Yeah.
And we saw what happened to MSNBC, for example, where they hire one somewhat pro-Trump pundit and Ronna McDaniel. She lasted 48 hours, and I'm not exaggerating. The inmates went nuts. We can't have her here. She's a danger to democracy. It's like, what? You know, when I have one opposing view, I mean, CNN, I'll give him a little credit because I have a guy named Scott Jennings on there who, at least in the clips that I see, is able to hold his own. But give him a show then. I mean, mm-hmm. if he's the only interesting person on there, then maybe you want to have another viewpoint instead of Abby Phillip and Caitlin Collins with that sourpuss face I got to endure like every night.
Do you remember on election night, like MSNBC's numbers were good compared to normal or something, and they were kind of bragging about it? It's like, do you know why people tune into MSNBC on election night? Like, do you really understand why people were like, we have to see what's happening here? Same thing with The View the next day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all Schadenfreude, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm not German. But, yeah, you just want to see the funeral, and you want to see just how hysterical they get. So, yeah, they'll have decent ratings for yesterday. But I'm sure, not to toot Fox's own horn, but I'll toot Fox's own horn. I'll bet you we probably had at least 7 or 8 times the audience of CNN or MSNBC, because I think a lot of those viewers were depressed and probably didn't tune in at all. And then, obviously, your average Fox viewer probably pretty pumped for the next president and mm-hmm. incoming administration. Again, after everything they witnessed, especially over the last 6 months.
We're speaking with Joe Concha, Fox News contributor. You can find him on X at Joe Concha TV, and his book coming out, You Need to Reserve It, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. I'm curious what you thought about the indoor inauguration versus the outdoor. I've never been to an inauguration, so I have nothing to compare with it other than my eyeballs on a television screen. Yeah. I particularly thought the production value as a consumer of it, in a nice temperature-controlled room, I thought that everything looked beautiful.
It really did. It was majestic. And the last time we saw this happen was 1985, Ronald Reagan. Same deal because of the weather. And then, of course, you have all these idiots on the left, especially on X, saying, Trump was afraid of the crowd size, so he moved it in so he wouldn't talk about the crowd. No, maybe, Obama had an inauguration in 2009, and dozens of people went to the hospital with hypothermia, mm-hmm. right? And it's just not comfortable. If you could do it inside, then do it inside. I mean, you don't lose one bit of aura as far as doing it there. And the acoustics were great. You had Carrie Underwood doing a cappella, right?
So
the music wouldn't go on. So, yeah, I thought it was great, and it just seemed like Trump could do a lot more and be in a lot more different places yesterday. I don't know how that guy does it. I was told by one of his aides that he doesn't even drink coffee. Like, all right, he doesn't drink alcohol. That's fine. But doesn't even drink coffee. Like, where does it come from? At 78 years old. It's insane.
I wonder if he's going to let RFK Jr. change Diet Coke at all. I can't imagine Diet Coke is like good for you, but it's good for him, apparently.
Yeah, it's a hands-off thing. When I was at Mar-a-Lago for New Year's Eve, I was actually seated at his table. I think I may have shared this with you. And it's funny because everybody else gets poured champagne, and then this one other person comes over and pours the Diet Coke. Like, the Diet Coke goes there. And then you feel guilty about having the champagne because, the guest of honor isn't drinking?
So. Yeah. That's an interesting way to look at it.
I stuck to water.
So when you are watching Donald Trump go through and make good on so many campaign processes before he even gets to the balls of the evening,
yeah.
When you're watching him go through and sign all these executive orders and sit in front of the press, and Peter Ducey's like, oh, hey, you got a letter in that desk from Joe Biden. He's like, oh, look at that. Yes, I do. My daughter, she's 12. She was sitting on the couch watching this with me. She goes, is he just sitting in front of the media answering questions? She couldn't believe that the president of the United States would interact with the media that way. And being a 12-year-old coming of age, she's paying more attention than she had been in the first Trump presidency, of course.
Yeah.
How different is America going to view the actions of Donald Trump 2.0 versus Joe Biden versus Donald Trump 1.0?
They will have an appreciation for it, right? Because 2017 to 2020, that was Trump being Trump, and they didn't realize. The one line that always stood out to me when I went to a Trump rally for the book, he said, you know, you don't have to, he goes, our movement, I'm paraphrasing, so excuse me, this movement, the MAGA movement, is more powerful and popular than ever. Because in 2016, you had to imagine what a Hillary Clinton presidency would be like, or you would have to imagine in 2020 what a Joe Biden presidency is going to be like. And he says, now you've experienced it, and you don't like it very much. It's not very good in terms of everything. So yeah, people appreciate it more, especially the fact that journalists like attack him as being some sort of threat to the industry, yet he's the most accessible person you could ever find in the Oval Office. Yeah, I think people will have a certain, not liberal so much, but independents, pragmatic Democrats, regular folks, will have an appreciation for Donald Trump, not just what he accomplished, the fact that he is so open and transparent when speaking to the press. And he doesn't have to call on hand-picked reporters. A list isn't handed to him. You don't have people in the room screaming at reporters to get out of the room like they did with Biden. So yeah, after witnessing all that, this is refreshing, for lack of a better term.
Before we let you go, did you see the conversation between Barry Weiss and Mike Johnson talking about Mike Johnson going in to have a conversation with Joe Biden about LNG, and Joe Biden had no idea that he had done what he had done? Did you see that conversation?
Yeah, I saw it. At least, not surprising.
Yeah, I'm asking myself right now, with the pardons that were signed at the very last minute, and some, I mean, I don't know how deep the roots would possibly go, but I am wondering, does Joe Biden know that he did everything he did?
His brain turned applesauce some years ago. My first book, I finished in 2022, and I was already making the argument that he has no business being a golf starter at your local county club, let alone, you know, the president of the United States. It wasn't that night at the debate in June that we're, oh, no, suddenly all went downhill. This has been happening for a while. So, yeah, so you got to think that probably for the last 4 years, somebody has been running the country. I don't know if I buy the Obama part, just some, you know, like a Ron Klain, chief of staff kind of guy, Susan Wright, who knows? But almost everything you've seen out of him is kind of inconsistent with some of the positions that he used to have. Like, he used to be all for strong border security, right? And the crime bill in 1994, I mean, that thing was as tough as you'll ever see. And then it all changed. Did he change, or probably no, he was just controlled and he just went along to be, get along, I guess.
Do you think we'll ever know? Do you think we'll get we'll find out the details of what was really happening?
You would have to take somebody from the inside to do that. But could I see like a Kamala Harris, like her people starting to leak stuff? Yeah, but I think we already know. I think we have a good idea. We don't know the specifics, but we do know the last 4 years that we've had basically a walking corpse in the White House. And that is just so embarrassing for this country.
Not any longer, Joe Concha. And you've written books on both ends of that spectrum. And we appreciate you coming on with us. And I cannot wait to see what the rest of these days. I mean, it's just like every time you look up, there's something else to report on. So our jobs are going to be a little more fun than they used to be going forward.
I picked the wrong week to stop stiffing glue. All right.
I love it. Take it. Have a good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for being with us. Take care. Bye-bye. Joe Concha, Fox News contributor on X. Go follow him and thank him for coming on the Annie Fry Show. They'd love to hear that. It's always helpful to get him back on the show. Joe's great with us, though, at Joe Concha TV on X. And his book, I mean, listen, in April, when this book comes out, you're going to be reminiscing about this moment in time in cold, frigid January when we watched Donald Trump come in. The Time magazine cover, which they do digital covers now, on, I guess, on the Internet. But the Time magazine cover is him sliding into the Oval Office desk and just knocking everything off the desk. And it just says he's back. He's back. It's so wonderful. His book, Joe Concha's book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, is going to be a wonderful read in April. So go pre-order it as soon as it is available. Quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Should future inaugurations be held indoors? Yes or no? We're talking about the production value of being able to control all of those things inside. Certainly the security level. I don't know that it's ever going to be particularly warm in January in Washington, D.C. Does it just make more sense to do it indoors? Would you like that? Yes? No? Why or why not? Let us know in the comments. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. This doesn't have to do with politics or anything. I'm just going to talk about this on the air. This is life. So I talk about this a lot. I coach sports or whatever for a grade school. You know, like when you go into a gym and they got music going and everything. Ethan, can you come in here? Because Ethan's kind of helping me with this. You're a part of this conversation, and he's closer to the topic that I am discussing here right now. So maybe Ethan can come in and help us have this conversation. But what is the standard that we need to be judging music that is played in a student situation, like a sporting event or something like that? Like, where do you end up drawing the line as to what's appropriate or not? Because I'm just going to tell you this right now. I listen to songs that used to be, they're probably still on Keishi. I know what y'all were listening to when you were young, and those words are filthy too. Some of that rock music that I know what you're talking about is very clear. You don't have to dig too deep to understand the type of things that were being discussed in some of those old, I don't know what it's called, old music, that rock music from the 70s. I know what was going on. I'm good grief. I talk all the time about listening to 20s Junction, or is it 40s Junction? And I send some of these songs, like the What You Know Joe song. I listen to this old kind of music, and there's some filthy stuff in there, and I'm always like, Grandma, what were you? Well, I guess I know what you were doing. How do you draw?
Not
like
so innocent, Granny.
I was saying to Ethan, because I'm putting together something with the help of our wonderful friend D to the C, like a little hype track for the beginning of the basketball for the basketball team. It's a high school, and I said to Ethan, I'm like, everything sounds filthy to my 40-year-old mom ears, and you said that music is worse now than it was before.
Oh, it's so much worse. I mean, like, the stuff that was playing during the 70s that you say, this is bad, that is mild compared to the vulgarity of music today. Now, I will say this. It is, a lot of it depends on the genre. I mean, rap music today is just so unbelievably vulgar. I mean, it is brutal. Now, like I said, not to say that there can't be cleaner versions of it, but it is, I mean, if your grandma listened to this now, I mean, she would, it might kill her. Eyes just wide. I mean, it is, it's brutal.
I think about music that I listen to. So I graduated high school in 2002, and rap and hip hop was kind of going through a high moment coming onto the scene. I mean, it just was evolving because it was becoming more popular. But it just seems like things that used to be talked about or winked at are now graphically described. Is that what it is?
Well, it's a good example is that when you were just talking about, oh, you know, it's a little bit more inappropriate, everyone listening can like assume and have an idea of what you were talking about. Today's music wouldn't do that, though. It would just straight up say it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm reading at what people are commenting here, different things, and explaining how suggestive things that were euphemisms, and some of the things they're saying are euphemisms, like sledgehammer. Talking about Peter Gabriel. And okay. See, if I say know. That and you've got your children in the car, they don't know.
Right.
But
it wouldn't say that now.
But some of these songs, if you played them off Spotify or whatever right now, they would be very, very well read on the topic by the end of the song.
Correct.
If they listen to it.
Correct.
Does that ever stop? I mean, are we just at a place where that can't go back? Like, aren't we talking about decency?
Yeah. You know, it's gotten, even from the time that I would say that, like for me, I started, and I don't really listen to rap music anymore on the occasion when I work out, but I would say I have matured out of that. But I mean, in high school, I mean, like, I still have a 900 song rap playlist that that was all I listened to throughout high school. So, I mean, looking at where it was when I was 15, now I'm 24, and it is still getting worse.
Yeah,
in my
wait
opinion.
15 years.
It is still getting worse.
Doug says there was a phase of rap and hip hop that was more violent than sexual. That's more of what I grew up with. There was a lot of, it was like thug life. Literally,
yeah.
Thug life. That was like a thing. And that has definitely shifted. Which, if you want to listen to that music, that's fine. But again, going back to my original question, what is appropriate to play in a public school gym? Are you ever sitting in an event like that? And it's centered around children, older children, and they're playing things. Are you like, this is just filthy?
There definitely is stuff that you can play, and some of it you may have to, you know, a great example, there are songs out there that you have to find the clean versions too, but that aren't dirty. You're not listening to it saying, what is this? You know, like where it may have a curse word or two, but it's not a dirty song. There is still that out there. It's just becoming less and less.
Miranda Lambert and Elle King, who sings America's Sweetheart for this. She doesn't sing it.
I've heard that before.
What?
That song, America's Sweetheart. Where have I heard that before?
That's our theme.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say, they sing a song, I'm drunk and I don't want to go home.
Okay.
Baby, I'm drunk and I don't want to go home. Well, my kids love to sing that. I love that song. I play it. But my children, when they sing it, they sing, I'm pumped and I don't want to go home.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's like, well, I've got
I'm
my
pumped,
little,
Mom.
I've got my 8-year old in the back of the car going, I'm drunk and I don't want to go home. I'm like, you're pumped, sister. You are pumped to go do good in the world. Okay. And then when I'm driving in the car by myself, sometimes I sing Pump too. I just try to ingrain it.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before, though. My husband, this is kind of telling on him, I guess, but my husband used to really love Kid Rock in high school. But we grew up in the late 90s and the early 2000s. Kid Rock was huge. He came on the scene then. And I don't know, it was maybe 5-8 years ago or something. He was going out for a run and he put some music. He's like, I want to play Kid Rock. That's what I used to work out to. And he put it on. He came home and he came in the house and he was like, Kid Rock is filthy. He's like, I couldn't believe the words there. He goes, I knew every one of the words. But why did I not know the words? He couldn't believe that his younger self was listening to this stuff. And now as a 30-something was like, holy smokes. This is the kids would call it brain rot.
I am in the exact same spot, except I would say that the farther into, I guess, like, you know, modern times we get, like, not to say that the 90s weren't, but just like things continue to get more and more vulgar. Like, I listened to what I listened to 5 years ago and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is,
I sang
like,
that in the car with my mother.
This is disgusting. I mean, yeah, it's brutal. It's sad.
Do you have any music like that that you revisited?
Oh gosh. Yeah, everything that I used to listen to, I go back and listen. I mean, like, even the stuff that's allegorical, Walk This Way is wild if you get the allegories and what they're talking about. And I mean, they're so crazy that I won't even, like, mention them on the air. But everything that I used to listen to. And then, like you said, Jared had that moment. I had that same moment where I will, and this will happen occasionally, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that song. And I'll pop it on the radio. I'll download it on iTunes or whatever, and I'll pop it on my stereo in my truck, and I'm like, no.
If you went to a high school basketball game and Walk This Way was playing,
you wouldn't think twice about it.
No, you'd sing the fake words you think you know of the song. Just like Joe Biden.
Exactly.
Joe Biden karaoke.
Maybe that's his favorite song. Maybe that's what he's been going for all these years.
I think it's Chacarone.
Chacarone.
I don't know. I'm curating this stuff. And we're going to put together some music, and I'm excited to do that for them. But I'm also like, I just sent the songs to Ethan because I don't know the songs that were sent to me. And I was like, are these cool? And Ethan was like, well, some of them.
No, be, Mom, not cool. Nope.
Some of them would be great. Okay. Yeah. We'll see. But don't you, I mean, have you ever been in a place like that before where it's like kind of around, like, I mean, you have family that is involved in high school sports and stuff like that. Does that ever occur to you when you're in a gym and you're like, well, this is an interesting choice?
Yes, because my dad, being the athletic director at a high school, the entire playlist that they play was constructed by yours truly. Even earlier years in college, I had people that were still on sports teams asking me to put together playlists
maybe
for them.
Maybe I need your help then.
I charge by the hour, you are welcome to reach out to acquire my services anytime.
I'm doing that now, and here's my debit card. Go buy yourself something nice.
Hey, yo.
Don't embarrass the family. That's really the goal here. Do not embarrass the family. Can we get more music that's like hype music and really good music that isn't like just singing about sunshines and rainbows and stuff like that?
What's wrong with sunshines and rainbows?
It's just like you need something that's motivating. It needs to be good. It needs to be good without being filthy.
Well, ABBA's not doing the job?
Oh, no. I'm hyped. But this is a 40-year-old woman doing her own show.
I'm
this
hyped.
Is not,
I'm hyped.
Is, oh, no, you're not. But you did pick the music for the
I'm
show.
I'm fired up.
We'll
take
be
a
right
chance,
back.
Baby.
Let's take phone calls in the next hour about your thoughts on the inauguration. 314-241-9797. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.